It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. What is it? Cerebral rubes? No, I forgot what it was now.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Cellulose rubes?
Yeah, it's something. It's unscrupulous rubes.
Unscrupulous.
Something. Man, I want my next band to be the Unscrupulous Rubes. Right? That you would have to be a punk band, though. That would have to be punk. You couldn't do anything else. Yeah. Unscrupulous Rubes. I don't even know. I don't think that's accurate. But still, that's the band name I'm going with.
That's my next band. Watching. I don't even know what channel it was on or where I saw it. It was on, the dude from Blink 182.
Oh, yeah.
Who formed, what was it, Angels and Airwaves? Mm-hmm. That band. I can't think of his name right now. But he's involved in a whole ton of different other businesses and was saying that how the punk movement is upset. And I went, you were punk? I always viewed Blink 182 as pop rock. And it's like, well, the punk movement.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh,
okay.
I don't know if that qualifies.
Yeah, you sort of came out of the Green Day thing, and he was trying to explain that punk isn't about just being in a punk is about being free to do whatever you want. I'm like, oh, here we are in 2020 trying to explain punk.
Credulous Boomer Rube.
Yes, credulous. I'm sorry. I couldn't think of it. Which, by the way, we tore apart the definition of the whole Don Lemon, Rick Wilson thing on CNN that everybody was upset about yesterday. And that means that you're somebody between the ages of 55 and 75. You believe anything you hear without fact-checking anything in a circus employee type of mindset.
Right.
I mean, that's so long to explain. It stopped being insulting by the time you got to the end of it. It's like, okay, yawn. See, that's why we keep it real, real brief here. You're an idiot. We're an idiot. You're an idiot. All right. Before I get too frustrated here with the comments, Eric and I are not advocating witnesses.
Oh, has that begun already?
It's begun. Okay. How come you guys are advocating witnesses? There should be no witnesses. Okay, you just happen to turn on the radio and catch us in the middle of a conversation.
Don't be so credulous.
I'm just...
Look, Eric's got a new word.
You could be a rube. Don't be credulous.
Don't be credulous. We were talking about the process of how it should be done, that if the liberals, including Mitt Romney, are arguing that everybody should be heard, then they're all relevant, and then make one list. Don't vote one for one. Don't make it separate votes on each of the witnesses.
How many times over the last month have said we are for zero witnesses? That's up to the House to do their job. What we are talking about is the reality of the situation now. And I know what you're saying is, but they've got the majority in the House, or excuse me, they have the majority in the Senate. Not if they don't have the votes.
Right.
And that's it. It's dealing with reality. Well, then Romney should be voted out of office next time if he runs.
Mm-hmm.
Or anybody who votes. Yeah, right. Exactly. That's a duh. But we're talking about what process politically could appease everyone on the Republican side and still get to the same point that you wish to get to, which is no witnesses.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're not advocating for witnesses.
No, we're not. No.
Look, be angry at me for what I say, not what I don't say. I got enough to deal with. I'm a victim.
Well, we get that a lot, actually, don't we?
I get it all the time.
It's, yeah.
I didn't say that. I didn't mean that.
I didn't say that. Yeah, it will go down. I think by the time we get to Friday, I think this thing's going to be done. I get the feeling it's going to be done. I get the feeling that it's going to be Murkowski and Romney that are voting with Democrats on the witness thing, and I think Collins is going to stand her ground. By the way, did you see the whole thing on Feinstein? Dianne Feinstein says she was mischaracterized.
Oh, yeah.
On her, you know, where she might be leaning on the impeachment votes.
I tweeted out that first story, and 5 minutes later had to tweet out the next story that right. said that she was 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
Where it was a no. I'm the process has made me look more forward, you know, or more likely to vote to convict.
Yeah.
Think about this. Dianne Feinstein. Think of the stand she's taken before that you could go back 20, 25 years ago that were almost conservative.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know how far left that party has gone, that Dianne Feinstein would vote on these articles of impeachment to remove a president from the United States shows you how, and I'm going to make this charge, shows you how radical they've always been and just were afraid to admit it.
Right.
That they have been far left, as Eric and I have been saying for the longest time, with Democrats going, there's no evidence. But then why would Dianne Feinstein vote for articles of impeachment that she knows without question are completely and totally bogus? When one of the defense lawyers yesterday, did you see when they played Gerald Nadler speaking? And I was reading different Facebook posts or Twitter posts from conservatives saying, oh, wow, you know, Nadler's got to be so embarrassed. I'm like, he's not embarrassed.
No.
He's not hiding anywhere. Understand they're political activists. They don't care if they get caught in a lie. They feel no shame if they publicly get caught in a lie, as long as they can continue to put forth their narrative. I still believe that there is a big misunderstanding of where Democrats actually are and what they are.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and what they care about. I mean,
even from some mainstream conservative media folk,
mm-hmm.
it's obvious where they are. But we're talking about what the Senate should do, what McConnell should do if he can't get, if there's no way he can fight the summoning of witnesses. How can he get enough votes to say, all right, and this is plan B that was in Fox News had this plan B, is to call multiple witnesses and not necessarily one-to-one.
Right.
Go out and say, nope, we'd like to have these four witnesses. You can have one. You want Bolton, you can have Bolton, but we want these people because we want to get to the truth. We don't want to do what the House did. Look, independents already know that it was a sham impeachment. Independents, everybody already knows that it was a sham impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
But you're trying to convince independents. That's the independents showed that they knew it was a sham. They didn't buy into impeachment now. And we had a caller earlier, yeah, but they want witnesses. Well, then fine. Then make it fair.
Great.
Independents know that the president didn't get a fair shot. So the president should get a fair shot. His defense should be able to call the witnesses that he wishes to call. Because otherwise, the president hasn't been able to call. The president's defense has not been able to call one witness of their choice. And you wish to remove him from office. You can sell that.
Yeah.
I can sell that. Yeah. Brad Parscale can sell that, right?
Yep.
He's a campaign manager for Trump, in case people don't know.
Yeah. You're going to have a trial where the defense gets no witnesses?
Yeah. Because that's what you're saying. We only want Bolton. So you, and that's how they should be. Hey, what is it, 4:15?
Mm-hmm.
Look, somebody's got to be up listening.
President's probably up. But you know, this is because that's and I go back to that comment on Monday that Mitt Romney had, because he's trying to push for witnesses, you know, including including Bolton. He focused on Bolton. because of the New York Times story. He says, I believe that we should hear from all relevant witnesses. You can't say, you can't make the case that the Bidens aren't relevant. Chris Hines, they're all relevant.
No, you can't.
Because you're saying because the charge is the president was unjust in bringing up the Bidens in that phone call. Oh, well now, if you're making that claim, should he not get the opportunity to prove that he was justified in mentioning the Bidens in that phone call?
Especially after his defense went through all of the mainstream media outlets that were concerned
right.
about Hunter Biden and the president's involvement, the president's son involvement, and what the former vice president said. Was it a Council of Foreign Relations interview that he was at when he talked and stated that there was a quid pro quo against the Ukrainian government?
Right.
So it's relevant. Schiff is relevant. The
yes.
whistleblower is relevant.
Yes.
They're all relevant
yep.
to it because the process is important, as we explained to the self-identified liberal who called us last hour.
Right.
And I think we were convincing him.
Well, I mean, if you believe that the truth matters, like Adam Schiff said, which is rich, then you should want to hear from everybody who's relevant.
But
if you believe Bolton should be called.
Well,
I'm not.
Well, if
again,
if
we
you,
need to repeat.
Right.
We're not proposing that we are for witnesses being called because,
well,
the whole thing is a sham.
They try to make the case that Bolton is a necessity when all Bolton, if we don't know what Bolton would say, we know what's being reported in the transcript. But if that is factual, what Bolton said, and even if it's true, it's not impeachable.
Nope.
So if that's relevant, then so is the Biden's testimony. So yep. is the whistleblower's testimony. So yep. is Adam Schiff's testimony. You can make the case. I still haven't heard the case made like we're making it right now, Eric.
No.
I have not heard it from.
No.
Now, maybe they don't feel it's time to make it yet. I don't know. But I haven't heard it made, and they've talked plenty about witnesses and did it yesterday. They need to get their act together.
Yep.
And to sell this. Because they can win. Look, this is all politics. This is all, as the one caller called up earlier and said, it's all politics. And so let me say this as I responded to him. It's all politics. Is it, Gary? Duh. So there's a duh back at me. Of course it's all political. They're not going to remove him from office. So everybody's trying to get the political advantage. So if you want the political advantage, say we're looking for the truth. We didn't get the truth from the House. They wouldn't allow the president to have his defense witnesses. They wouldn't allow the president to be part of the process. And now, again, here, the Senate wants to keep the president from calling defense witnesses that he believes will help justify any position that he had. The Democrats are saying, no, it's not relevant. It's not up to them to make that decision.
No. Nope.
They're part of the party that's doing the prosecuting. They don't get to decide the president's witnesses. And if the witnesses are bogus and they have nothing, it hurts the president's defense.
Yep.
You can sell this. You can win this.
If calling the Bidens as witnesses backfires, well, that's on the president's team and the president. Okay.
And we find out that their mindset and their life and their behavior is that of Mother Teresa?
Yeah. Yes.
Then it hurts Trump.
Right.
If we find out after Joe Biden's testimony that the Catholic Church is going to canonize him and make him a saint.
Mm-hmm. Saint Biden. Mm-hmm.
Saint Biden.
Saint Joe.
Then
the other Saint Joe.
then it hurts Trump.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
You know, the prosecution does not make the case. Adam Schiff is making the case. It's not relevant. You don't get to make that decision.
You don't get to say that.
You're the prosecution. Shut up.
Yeah. Right. If it's not relevant, then you can question him and prove that, right?
Exactly.
Go for it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Starting and charging system-related issues are one of the most common causes of winter breakdowns. So when your batteries talk, it's important you listen. Knowing the warning signs that could indicate your electrical system needs attention can help you avoid getting stuck out in the cold this winter. Have your batteries inspected by a professional technician if you smell any unusual or strong odors coming from the battery box. A pungent odor could indicate chemicals are escaping from a damaged or overcharged battery. Stop in to a TA truck service shop near you to have your batteries inspected by an ASC-certified technician today. Our professional technicians can also perform a comprehensive electrical system check to ensure your starting and charging systems are in tip-top shape to keep you rolling through winter.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, let's get to a call here. We go to Victor in Indiana. Victor, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. You were talking about the witness thing. I think they should just shut that down because it's a delaying tactic. That's all it is. And this could go on forever, but the whole thing about this impeachment, as I understand it, it was about a phone call that President Trump made to the new president of Ukraine, centering around some military aid that we were sending to Ukraine, which I believe is part of a larger package. I think it was a $1.9 billion package. And the investigation of corruption, which we were obligated to do by treaty. So... So on the contract, when those things go into effect, our government gives out all kinds of contracts to all kinds of people. And it's gotten to the point now that I know people, young people, that are going into the military services and starving to death for 4 years on enlisted pay, because that will put them in a position to get a high-priced contract, you know, someplace overseas.
Okay, we need to, I just want to stay on topic here, Victor, here, and, yep. and the one Thanks, thing that you brought up about the statute and treaty with it, what the Democrats are claiming is that doesn't matter, that you can go and look at corruption, there's no problem. It's a fact that he mentioned the Bidens, and the Bidens are, were, the Joe Biden is a potential opposition candidate to him, and the fact that he brought him up and asked a foreign government to investigate him, treaty or not, is impeachable.
Right.
That's the point they're trying to make. You can argue everything there. That's the point they're trying to say, is that the Bidens, that Joe Biden should be exempt from that. And because he wished to go after him, that's impeachable on itself and should be removal from office, which, of course, is ridiculous, which is why the defense set up all of the allegations that and all of the stories done by the mainstream media concerned about it, because what they're trying to make the claim is that Donald Trump was acting on a vacuum, simply looking at this and going, that's Biden, we need to go after him so I don't have to run against him.
Right.
And what they're trying to lay out is, no, it's corruption. But then the Democrats are coming back saying, well, no, it doesn't matter whether you're looking at possible corruption. You cannot ask a foreign government to look at anyone who may be a potential candidate. There's no law that says there's no law.
No.
They're just making it up as going along. You can't do that, and you should be removed from office because of that.
Right.
Understand what their precise argument is.
Yes, their charge, what they're trying to say. It will be interesting to see, though, where this falls out between now and Friday. We always give it the Friday test. Would this still be, while the witness thing was a big story today and people were getting it wrong, let's see where it actually goes on Friday, which could be the witness vote.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE.
And he is Eric. I'm Gary. 866-90-RED-EYE. What kind of rubes again?
Credulous.
Credulous rubes, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we need to deal with the woulda, coulda, shoulda again.
All right.
Because we get this constantly, and we're being bombarded the last couple of days with it, so every couple of days we have to hit it. I've probably gotten this question more than any, not question, this demand, that any of the senators that are running for president should not be voting on the president. That's a shoulda,
yeah,
of the coulda and woulda.
Yeah.
You may have a moral case. That's not how it works.
Because all the other Democratic senators are neutral.
Well, I've gotten that question more than anything.
I mean, because if you're going to make the point that they're running against the president, any of them could run against the president.
Right.
They could all, any of them could announce tomorrow, the other ones that aren't running. So you're trying to make the case because they oppose the president, they shouldn't be able to vote.
It doesn't work that way. The other one is that I get this all the time, and I've got it more tonight, that, Schiff needs to be recused because he was involved in it. In a normal court, he would be.
Right. Doesn't work that way here.
It doesn't work that way here. There are ways that things actually work that are outside of our wish list. I wish that what Gary and Eric wish could be reality, but it's not. And therefore, we really don't deal in what we wish. We wish we deal with what is.
Yes.
And so those senators can all vote.
Yep. Yep.
And Schiff can stay in the position that he is in. And we have heard, well, Schiff should be impeached. Well, he could only be impeached with the process starting in the House.
Yes.
That is majority Democrats. So that isn't going to happen. I've also got that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why can't they just impeach? They should impeach Schiff after this. Well, they can't. They don't have the majority in the House to start that process.
Right.
So, you know, I know that the wishes come from what you view is immoral, because when they say they're taking the oath to be impartial, we know that's all a lie.
Right. Yes.
We know that the vast majority of Senate Democrats will eventually lie about their oath. They will not fulfill their oath to be impartial. We know that because there's no way you can look at these articles of impeachment, no way, and say this president should be impeached. There's no way it rises to the level of treason, bribery, high crime, misdemeanor, rises to none of those. Even if you wish to move beyond Dershowitz, where something that may not be criminally or civilly legal, but still might be completely wrong. And some things have been brought up, like if you get rid of habeas corpus, well, actually you can. That is a civil violation. And people have brought up, well, it may not be a criminal offense, but in the internment of Japanese American citizens. Mm. It is against the law what he did.
Mm-hmm.
What Roosevelt did. It is against the law. But you don't go to jail for that. You would have to pay, as the American government eventually did, paid restitution. Might have been too late. But there's nothing civil here. There's nothing criminal here. And by the way, the expectation of the American people for impeachment is there has to be some type of high crime, treason, or bribery.
Yes. Right.
And there is none of that here. And every Democrat senator knows it. everyone in the media, anybody who's paying attention knows it. Those that are ignorant and have not paid attention, ignorant is not an insult.
No, we're going to insult them in the next segment.
Right. That's not like calling somebody a rube.
Credulous rube.
Credulous boomer rube.
What if you're just a rube and you're not credulous?
Well, the rube would mean you are a carny. Because that's what a rube is. A rube is technically a circus or a carnival employee with the mindset of a carnival or circus employee.
Are they keeping elephants in cages? I'm just asking questions. Well, I'm asking for a friend.
But you're taking a lot of liberties as an insult because I really don't know the mentality. Look, to make my case even stronger, remember, the Wizard of Oz was a carny.
Yeah, right. A rube.
A rube.
The rube of Oz.
The great wizard.
Yes. It's all a sham.
People are, what the hell are you guys talking about? The Don Lemon comment that everybody was talking about. You know, not Don Lemon, but the Rick Wilson comment on Don Lemon show where Don Lemon kept laughing and, you know, he came out with his apology. I wasn't laughing at that. Yeah, you were.
By the way, the arrogant looking down his nose at the camera, at the credulous rubes while he was apologizing.
Boomer.
Yeah.
It's like, by the way, is credulous boomer rube, is that ageism?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Because if you just said credulous rube that votes for Trump, the carny-like mindset of people. And by the way, I don't know. I think that's a terrible stereotype that people that work for a circus or a carnival that.
You mean like CNN? Tell me who the rube is.
That they may. Cause
I don't work at CNN.
Because credulous means you accept anything as truth without fact-checking is what it means.
Yeah.
And CNN, see anybody on CNN making that comment to begin with.
Yeah. If there's any definition of credulous rubes,
but using,
step right up.
But using boomer has set a particular age group there.
Yes. Now, I'll defend the boomers. I'm not a boomer, but I'll defend the boomers. Because you have to be a jerk to be born before 1966. I stole that from Ricky Gervais.
I wasn't upset until I realized that he was attacking my age group.
Yeah, right.
Because I am a boomer.
Right.
And so personally, I am completely and totally insulted. I am furious. I feel as if I have been victimized.
You didn't even
CNN.
Realize that you were furious about it until halfway through your tapioca. And then you turned off the Wheel of Fortune to write a letter to the editor.
You know the definition of how you're old, and Eric experienced this when I came in tonight. I went to the doctor yesterday, and I'm telling Eric, my blood work was great.
You brought balloons even.
When you come in and you're telling employees that your blood work was good.
Yeah.
Was excellent.
My blood work was great.
I might be able to drink a sugar soda tomorrow.
Say I can get a hover around for free, nothing out of pocket.
That's how you know you're
that's right. How you know
so I am a boomer, so I am old,
because one night it'll be we're not going anywhere, it'll be just the sound of the hover rounds in the hallways. Eric and Gary are here. Oh okay, great. No, it'll take 10 minutes for them to get to the studio. You got time.
My blood work is back.
All right. I have no idea where we are.
Boo hoo.
I Brian, get to work, Brian.
Boo. No.
Boo hoo.
Yeah.
And credulous rube.
Yeah, there you go.
We expect a deep voice guy, credulous rube here.
Exactly.
Do we throw boomer in or just credulous rube? Do we want to be in our insults do we want to be encompassing all?
Well, I think we have to be accurate. Don't we?
How about deplorable credulous rube? Yeah. I like that.
Credulous boomer rube.
Credulous boomer rube, yes.
Credulous boomer rube. Didn't Nerf make that? Wasn't that a toy? The credulous boomer rube? It's like a football that comes back to you.
For ages 12 and under.
Yeah. Yes. Please use in the supervision of parents, under the supervision of parents. The Nerf credulous boomer rube. It's a football that comes back at you. For those whose fathers aren't interested in their children, the credulous boomer rube.
And just one more thing to Don Lemon, that you really didn't have to apologize mm-hmm. because I don't think many deplorable, credulous boomer rubes are watching your show to begin with.
Yeah, no, who's he apologizing to? That just boggles my mind. Really.
Would anybody be upset who's watching CNN?
No. No. No, Don, we found out about it from people, from, you know, because we don't watch CNN. We found out about it because we were laughing at you guys.
Yeah, well, you know, Twitter was on it, and so
yeah,
you've got
exactly.
Of
social
course,
media.
Now, I did hear, I know that, I got to find it. I was just scanning yesterday, right before I went on the air, and they were saying somebody, the president should make an ad out of it. And somebody said there was a 60-second ad that someone made.
Oh,
that
good,
really that if you that good. The Republicans should make an ad out of this. And I went, yeah, because it's in their own words. And we have said before one thing, and we had said this when Brad Parscale first became the campaign manager. And we said, seems like you've really got a handle on what you have to do. And as we said, one of the things you should do is and this came really from Eric's point campaign strategy, which is you don't have to say much. Just point at what they're
just
saying.
Just point at the other side. Play them in their own words. Play them. Play right. Those moments over and over again.
You know what they believe and what they say, because it is so radical, and they still, for some reason, believe that they live in a world without computers or phone cameras.
Yeah, right.
That there's just plenty of ammunition. You really don't have to say much. Just point and say. When the media comes up to people and says, "How could you? Trump is the rudest guy. How could you possibly vote?" There,
yeah,
there,
and
there, mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. and where is he? Oh, there's Buttigieg. There,
yeah,
over there.
Yep, absolutely. And the great thing is working in the president's favor, based on the energy of his campaign and his supporters, is the people on YouTube that can do their own video editing. I mean, the people that are very mm-hmm. YouTube savvy. I call them credulous boomer rube YouTubers. Because they you know, all you have to do, and anybody with a, you know, with a laptop can do it, and then all of a sudden the shares are, they're all like free. It's all free. It's the, you know, Brad Parscale doesn't have to spend a dime on it. You just click share.
I can see some liberal watching CNN after that segment and going, see, we're winning.
Yeah, exactly.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Friday Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. We'll continue and get to more of your calls and comments following the top of the hour. You're right, though, because I debated with you a couple of hours ago. I'm now convinced you're right.
What?
I was wrong.
What's that?
That was the top moment from Don Lemon.
No,
It even beats, because we've had more fun with this even than when Don Lemon asked the question to Mary Schiavo and all of the aviation accident experts mm-hmm. after the crash of the Malaysian airliner.
Right.
When he asked if it might be a black hole that sucked in the airliner. This was better. I don't know why this is better. I don't know.
Yeah,
why.
No,
you're right.
I think this tops it.
I was debating you earlier, but maybe because of the immediacy of it, that it's right now and we're able to come up with so much material out of it. But this beats even his, and that I never thought he could beat that.
By the way, you know, I think what he was trying to do with the apology, non-apology, I think he was trying to debate. I think he sees the energy behind this president. It really, really, I'm sure, eats away at him that the president's energy and support is this huge right now and has been for a while. Think about this. This is his second term. This energy is far above what 2016 was for him, and that was huge. Mm-hmm. I think that bugs the daylights out of Don Lemon. I don't think it was an apology. I think he was trying to debate them and failed drastically at it.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. In the news this morning.
This November, we are going to win back the House. We are going to hold the Senate. And we are going to keep the White House. The Democrat Party is the Socialist Party and maybe worse. Voters are making a mess. Exodus from that party. And we are welcoming them to the Republican Party with wide open arms. We'll have a wonderful new speaker. Will get rid of Nancy Pelosi. Nervous Nancy. We'll have Kevin McCarthy, who's been fantastic. We have to win back the House.
Speaker McCarthy.
Well, you got to win back the House, otherwise
it's not Speaker McCarthy.
Well, no, you'll be facing impeachment.
Yes,
now again.
Yes, again.
Mid-impeachment trial rally.
No, you know what? Hold on a second. Whoa. Where is that message? The Democrats will not, because it's important that he gets the House back. First of all, he needs those purse strings back in his corner.
Mm-hmm.
But the message should be, too, that not only does he need the purse strings, and everybody needs the Republicans this time around need to get in line and help him build the wall, yada, yada. But also the impeachment threat. If we don't win back the House, you know what they're going to do. You know that this craziness, this insane over-the-top behavior will not stop.
I think you will see that those ads.
It has to happen.
Yeah.
It has to happen. I mean... The president does great at his rallies. He doesn't actually need anything, because I think let the president be the president at the rallies. The energy is already there. But then you carry from that into the ad campaign and obviously you get beyond, of course, this impeachment first. But as soon as it hits, because there will be an acquittal. There are few guaranteed things in life or things that I'm willing to predict, but he will be acquitted. The ad campaign, though, from that point on, in all of the districts, remember what they have done. I mean, the Republicans have poured a ton of money throughout impeachment into districts. What was the one in, I think, Northeast Pennsylvania? They put $450,000 or something like that in TV ads, which is incredible for the district of that size for just impeachment. But that has to continue, because the threat of another impeachment based on nothing would be there.
while the impeachment is going on, I just want to break, because we'll get to the plan B from Republicans, if you ever heard it, Fox News and other media outlets, what plan B might be when it comes to witnesses here, if they can't get to the 50, which I believe they can. It was interesting because in the one article I read, sources believe that if it's a 50-50 vote, that that for example, that the Republicans can actually lose four senators on witnesses, because they believe that John Roberts will not be the deciding vote on it, because he doesn't want, because at that time, if you're the deciding vote and you say, I'm going to go either way on this, then you've made a political decision as a Supreme Court justice.
Right.
And so he would just abstain, saying, not my, you know, not my thing, is what they predict. But then again, we've dealt with Obamacare, so nothing is guaranteed. Get to the 51. But we'll get to that here in a couple of moments, what plan B is. I don't want to let the show pass, though, without talking about just the president and foreign policy. We've talked about the president, and he's unconventional, right?
Yeah.
He's not the same as we've had before, which is one of the reasons that he was put into office. We talk about foreign policy with the, you know, with the Ukraine, but yesterday you saw the deal, you know, the two-state deal, the Palestinian deal, you know, that he got Netanyahu to agree with.
Right.
And when you look at it, you know, the Wall Street Journal had their lead editorial on, you know, the how unconventional it is. And they brought this up. The diplomatic approach is unconventional. The U.S. norm has been to arm twist the Israelis and bribe the Palestinians with cash. Instead, the Trump administration has supported Israel unapologetically, including by moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, and wants the rest of the world to persuade the Palestinians to confront reality. And, you know, the recognition of some of Israel's territory expansion since 1967, because they're saying, look, the settlements get to stay. Now there's going to be a moratorium on new settlements, which is going to be maybe a tough sell in Israel, but they're trying to get a have the compromise there. But the territorial expansion since 1967 simply reflects the changes in political realities as the Palestinians rejected peace deal after peace deal. No one serious in Israel expects the major settlement blocks to be demolished. Meanwhile, Israel has unprecedented support now from the Gulf Arab states, which are united with Israel against Iran and have grown tired of Palestinian rejectionism.
Great point.
And so when you look at that here, how Trump has gone in and said, you know, look, we're going to negotiate in a different in a different way. Now, it may fall flat on its face, but, you know, I have to say what Kushner apparently has, because he's the one behind this, but apparently what they have put together, at least is interesting and approaches it from a different point of view, and approaches it from the fact that this isn't just the United States, Israel, and the Palestinians, but we want the rest of the Middle East, who we now know is moving more towards, again, getting just sick and tired of the Palestinians. You guys come in, you be part of the solution too. And again, it may not work, but you look at it and you say, okay, does Israel compromise a little bit?
Yep.
The Palestinians have to compromise a little bit. Yep. Are they doing some things? Now, you heard between the two Palestinian territories, the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, they're talking about a high-speed rail. So they may be able to build one there, but not in California.
Right.
But I'm thinking to myself, wow, get electric cars, solar panels, and windmills, and we've solved the Middle East problem.
Yes. Finally.
That's what it was all the time. But also, the other thing that they brought up here, something that nobody is talking about right now, but they talked about the what's going on in the Balkans right now. They said this approach may fail like so many previous efforts, but sometimes unconventional diplomatic methods are worth a try. Last week, the Trump administration contributed a little-noticed diplomatic breakthrough in the Balkans as Serbia and Kosovo agreed to resume transit between the two countries that had been frozen since the 1990s war. Serbia does not recognize Kosovo's statehood and has mistrusted the United States, which intervened to protect Kosovo back in 1999. Yet the European Union-backed talks went nowhere. And Mr. Trump appointed U.S. Ambassador to Germany, Richard Grenell, as special envoy. Instead of political and territorial disputes, Mr. Grenell, based on Trump's philosophy, focused on business concerns. And now there's going to be airline flights between the two countries. And they write there, a small but a notable step towards normalizing relations, but approaching it from the business point of view. What will benefit everybody? Still keep your point of view, but hey, let's do business. And as we've talked about before, the beauty of capitalism is that when people voluntarily cooperate with each other, to make money, you have to be more understanding of other people's culture. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to do business. Sure. And you're going to have to set those things aside in order to do that. And it's a small step, but it's a first step that nobody else has been able to get in the Balkans. So you and I have always said, on even on North Korea, where at times it's like, oh, God, please stop complimenting him so much. I mean, yeah. You know, you just that's the initial emotion. Trump is unconventional. It's why he's president. And I mentioned to you earlier on the show how I was reading Britt Hume, and he was commenting on the fact that if you look at the American public across the board, everything is better since the Obama administration, and by pretty big numbers, too. Mm-hmm. The economy, even race relations, is up. And Britt Hume looked at it and said, well, in a normal presidency, a president that had this kind of improvement would see a 55 to 60% approval rankings, and Trump can't get out of the 40s. And then asking the question, I wonder if Trump realizes that you know, some of the, making the point, some of this may be him and the attitude that he has and just how he is. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I thought of was, but he wouldn't be president if he wasn't Trump.
Right.
He wouldn't be here to begin with for you to make that statement if he wasn't the unique personality of Trump.
Right.
Wouldn't be here.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, I would argue with Britt Hume that it's driven by the reluctance to approve of Donald Trump himself. I'm not going to say hatred. That's part of it in terms of him staying in the 40s, not getting out of the 40s. It's the reluctance to admit that they don't have a problem with him. Think about that. Go ahead and wear a MAGA hat in public.
Right. I'll vote for him, but I won't say that I
approve of
him.
I'm not going to say that I approve of him. Not even to a stranger on the phone. Because it is, seriously, it is that kind of, it's the man on the street interview where they said, well, look, what if I wanted to identify as a 9-foot-tall Chinese man?
Okay.
Because they're afraid of being called out, right? Mm-hmm. And especially with this president. I mean, we could well see, and we'll only know after November 3rd, but we could well see the real power of a truly silent majority.
You and I have had a lot of those discussions off the air, just, you know, how big is the silent majority?
Right.
How sick are people of everything that has gone on? And I will say this. One of the reasons that I tend not to predict elections, you know, I can bring you the polls and all this, is number one, I'm only one person, and to get a handle on how the entire country thinks is almost impossible. But what really has stuck in my head, I was only a talk show host for 5 years, and 1994 hit. And the change to the Republican Congress. Nobody saw it coming.
No.
Nobody.
No.
Nobody saw it coming. And the anger and frustration with what is going on right now over the last 3 years, and I'm not talking about the president, but the Democrat Party that you can successfully market against and sell that, look, we want to get things done. I'm President Trump. The Republican Party wants to get things done. They just want to kick me out of office for any reason.
Right.
You can sell that. That anger that exists out there right now and that sense of unfairness, even in independents and many Democrats who may not say it publicly, to me, is greater than any angst that I ever saw in 1994, which completely changed Congress.
Yeah.
It is.
Right. Yeah.
And so I don't know how big it is.
You know, that's a good point, because it's hard to measure, even if, you know, if you look at the there's a lot of hype and energy online on social media. Big red wave 2020, hashtag landslide 2020, all of those things. You can't gauge it from that either, right? But you look at, you put all these little elements into play. The energy at his campaign rallies, what's going on right now, and I think the lack of energy on the left. And again, I believe it's the president's election to lose. But you campaign like you're 20 points behind every day until you win. But I do wonder, are we looking at something this fall? Could we be looking at something where it just couldn't be measured? Because since he was elected, things have changed drastically. And I think that's in his favor.
The biggest thing that I can't measure is the Democrats, because of their insanity. Not that people haven't got used to Trump. That's part of it. And not that Trump hasn't done good things. Mm-hmm. But we know that he is different.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of people don't like different.
Right.
He's no longer different. He's normal. And if you see the things he's doing yesterday, you know, you see him with Netanyahu, and boom, this plan comes out. You see that he's constantly talking about USMCA, got passed. The China trade deal got passed. You see him doing things, and the Democrats are just screaming. The Democrats, I believe, have normalized Trump more than anything.
He's because of their insanity. In the room right now.
Because of their complete insanity.
Yep.
They look at him, they go, he's just from Queens. He's screwing with you.
Right.
To quote Chachi.
Exactly.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue reiterated Monday in Belgium that U.S. agriculture has several matters with the European Union that need resolved via negotiation.
There's no confusion about what issues we think need to be resolved.
The secretary at a reception with EU officials in Brussels said one example is U.S. chicken exports chemically washed to disinfect poultry. The secretary says while such treated product is allowed in most other global markets based on sound science, the EU bans such exports that some officials there have termed chlorinated chicken, which Secretary Perdue says is not the case at all.
We don't use chlorine any longer for pathogen reduction treatments. We do use parasitic acid. It's a vinegar, essentially. These are techniques that are safe and healthy all the way along to have a safe, healthy product all the way, just with the assurances over parasitic acid that we remove the salmonella and the E. coli.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara.
As far as bringing in Bolton, I think we need to ask, is he a disinterested or neutral or dispassionate witness? And I would say that he's a witness very interested in making a lot of money right now. A month ago, he was against testifying. Now that his book is complete and available for $29.95, he's all for testifying. So I think we have to take with a grain of salt his testimony if he were to come in.
We will talk about Plan B. There is a plan B that Republicans discussed yesterday about where they might want to go if they don't have the votes that would say no witnesses at all.
Mm-hmm.
Where would that be? Coming up.
Here's your forecast.
An active Pacific jet stream pattern that's been pushing wave after wave of rain into the Pacific Northwest and Northern Rockies will continue to do so today. Coastal regions and valleys can expect a couple of inches of rain through Thursday morning. The higher elevations of the Cascades should see snowfall amounts in excess of a foot, while the higher terrain of the Northern Rockies and into the Tetons may see snow approaching a foot. Scattered rain showers possible in parts of the Southwest today. A storm is pushing through the lower Mississippi Valley and Gulf Coast that will bring rain to some areas, a light wintry mix to others. Areas of the southeast will be rainy today. Parts of the southern and central plains will see daytime highs 10 to 20 degrees below normal by tomorrow. Parts of the southern plains will be chilly today and into tomorrow, but temperatures in much of the U.S. will be at normal levels for this time of the year. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Unstable Radicals, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Quickly here, the format today for the impeachment trial questions. From what I know, it's simple. They will alternate back and forth.
Yep.
During the Clinton impeachment, there were over 100 questions that were asked over that period of time. They're trying to keep it five-minute answers.
Right.
From what I know, there is no rebuttal. You simply ask the question and address it to either the prosecution or the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't seem like there's any. It doesn't seem like there's any way where you can, for example, if you ask one question. If, you know, I don't know if I just don't remember the Clinton trial to this level of detail. Like if you ask a question to the prosecution, which, for example, Republicans know is bogus. If the chief judge asks the next question, can the defense respond to what they have said?
Right.
And then say, look, by the way, that's wrong because this and this. But to get to your question. I don't know. We'll find out very quickly, though, when they do it later on today. But that's really it. That's really the format.
If you say, let's say there were over 100 questions, well, that gets you to probably 8 to 10 hours. So they'll do 8 hours today. And McConnell said that's the way it was phrased, up to 8 hours tomorrow. What he's probably expecting that. And I don't know if there's a deadline for getting the questions in. You know, you get three questions and then sit there for an hour and then three more questions come
in. Well, no, because they organize it beforehand. Both parties want to. So the questions, from what I know, the questions
are due at 1 p.m.
Right. All the questions are due at a particular time for that day because both parties are organizing it so they don't repeat the same question.
Right.
So each party is looking at the questions, and you will know which senator asked what question.
Yeah.
Or what group of senators asked a question. Apparently, I was reading yesterday, and I can't remember specifically what it was, but there was one bipartisan question asked that had a Democrat and a Republican asking the same question in the Clinton impeachment.
Yeah.
Just one, though.
Right.
For the most part, they're going to try to frame the questions. I'm sure that the Democrats will frame the questions since the House managers have been pounded on for the last couple of days, will ask specific questions. And here's the thing. I'm sure that Democrat senators and the managers have gotten together. These are the questions to ask.
Right. Yes.
And it probably happened the other way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Republican communication with the president's defense team. That would be logical.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You would expect that to happen. Now, the latest out there, hang on, I had it here and then I just lost it. Let me just get to the plan B here that we've been talking about. This is the Republicans have developed, this came out from Fox during our show last night, or this morning, have developed an aggressive plan B in the impeachment trial. That's that's the headline here. One plan is to amend any resolution calling for a particular witness to also include a package of witnesses that assuredly would not win enough support in the Senate.
Hmm.
For example, if the Democrats seek to call former National Security Advisor John Bolton, Republicans might subpoena Hunter Biden and Adam Schiff over his inconsistent statements concerning his panel's contacts with the whistleblower at the center of the impeachment probe. The package deal proposal could afford moderate Republicans the political cover of supporting more witnesses in theory while ultimately rejecting a witness package they deemed flawed. Even if a witness package passed, the resolution could be written such that the witness phase of the trial ends immediately if a key witness, such as, for example, hypothetically Hunter Biden, defies his subpoena.
Hmm.
Because they want to get this done in the next couple of days.
Right.
I'm reading here that they interviewed Federalist senior editor Molly Hemingway observed that in the House impeachment proceedings, Democrats allowed themselves to call significantly more witnesses than they afforded their Republican colleagues, raising the possibility Republicans could reasonably insist on an equally favorable ratio in the Senate trial when putting together a prospective package of witnesses. The lopsided ratio in favor of the GOP could also lead some Democrats to oppose a witness package. You and I talked about this earlier. That's why when they were coming on saying, well, no, if they call, then we need to have a one-to-one. I think, didn't Rand Paul first say that? Was it Rand Paul that first came out with
that
idea?
Right.
And we said, no. You should frame it, that the Republicans should frame it, all the witnesses where we get to the truth.
Yes.
That's what we want.
Right.
And then, as we stated earlier in the show, in case you just tuned in, we said, look, you can win this even if you've got, even if you have some rogue Republicans that we know there are, that wish to say witnesses that we want to hear from witnesses because that will help them in their state or whatever reason they have. I want to be a jerk today and and I hate the president, even though I'm a Republican, Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I got his support and asked for his support, Mitt Romney, you put it in this package form and it never gets through. And what you do, though, in promoting it is you simply say this. This is where you win the argument. The Democrats, when they had control of it, would not allow the Republicans to call their witnesses and did not allow the president to be part of the process or call his witnesses. So far to date, the president's defense has not been able to call one witness, not one. The Democrats have called how many witnesses they've called.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The defense in this case has not been allowed one witness. We, the Republicans, and America know how unfair the process was in the House since we have decided as a body to do some of the investigating or the investigation that the House failed to do, then our goal is to get to the truth. And so we want all of the witnesses and we wish to give the President of the United States and his defense team a chance to call witnesses of their own as is commonplace in every single trial that happens. It's part of due process. You know it. Adam Schiff should not be telling, should not be able to dictate to the president's defense team the witnesses that he can call and he can't call.
Prosecution doesn't get to decide that.
Prosecution doesn't get to decide that. This is common jurisprudence and the rules of the courts that we all recognize and embrace as Americans. By the way, I'm doing this ad lib, well, the little added stuff that I'm
throwing. By the way, it's also not a one-for-one in any given trial.
No, not a one-for-one. The goal is to get to the truth. They called a lot more witnesses. We have witnesses that we wish to call. The president has witnesses that he wishes to call in his defense in order to make his case stronger, which he has every right to do. You win that argument with independents, and you end up getting no witnesses because the Democrats didn't want to get to the truth.
Exactly. They don't want the Bidens up there. They don't want Chris Hines there. They don't want the so-called whistleblower there. All they want is their own witnesses. They want, Adam Schiff wants to control this the way he did in the House.
By the way, for people who don't know, Chris Hines, his name just relatively came up here in the last day, a stepson of John Kerry, mm-hmm. in business with the Bidens, and he is the one wrote the email to the State Department saying, I don't know why these guys are getting involved with, you know, with Burisma.
Right.
And so other members of the State Department that were concerned with it and the whistleblower.
Because if the claim is, the charges are, with Article 1, the heart, what's at the heart of Article 1 is that the president was unjust in mentioning the Bidens in that phone call on July 25th.
He committed an abuse of power, right?
Yep. And that's the heart of it, the yep. Bidens. So you can't say that the Bidens aren't relevant. Of course they are. And in that case, Chris Hines is.
Yep. And so are the State Department employees that were concerned about the conflict of interest that Biden had.
Adam Schiff, the so-called whistleblower that contacted his office. He lied about that. Why did he lie about it? He's relevant. So the so-called whistleblower is relevant.
And by the Democrat standard, from what we know so far, you can make the allegation from the Democrat standard that not only was it a quid pro quo, but we're making the allegation based on the evidence that they used for Trump or Russia collusion and everything else,
mm-hmm.
that obviously Biden's son was being paid because it was a bribe. We'll take care of what you want. You pay my son this kind of money.
Right, exactly.
By the Democrat standard, you can make a better allegation. Look, they were trying to make the allegation of bribery for the president.
Mm-hmm.
You can make, by the Democrat standard, a better allegation of bribery on the Bidens than you ever could for Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Or even an impeachable offense for
sure.
Trump.
Yes.
Well, not by the Democrat standard. I forgot I was in the Democrat standard sphere here, where anything Trump does is impeachable and should remove him from office. So
yes, he gets up too early. He must be up to something.
But you can make a better case by the Democrat standard for Biden committing bribery than actually wrongdoing, even from the Democrat standard, now that I think of it. Trump should be removed from office,
right,
by the Democrat standard of how they view evidence. Well, then you can make the case that Biden and his son were involved in a bribery scheme. Right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Have I missed anything? But I just thought about that during the middle of the show when we first talked about this about an hour and a half ago, and I went, after one caller, and I went, well, wait a minute, you can, because he was concerned, well, the Democrats are going to win, and they'll make the Republicans be vulnerable, and I just thought about it and went, well, no, they're not. The Republicans can dominate on this. There's no reason for the Republicans not to win this one slam dunk on the Democrats.
Right.
By stating, we want to, Schiff doesn't get to dictate, and everybody understands how courts work. The prosecutor here, the lead prosecutor and the lead investigator, does not get to dictate what witnesses the president's defense has, and you focus in on the argument, because all they want is Bolton. What the Democrats want is to have all the witnesses they want and the president. Think about this. They wish to remove the president from office and don't want to hear from one single witness. They will not allow the president one single witness. Not one.
Since when does the defense get zero witnesses?
This is zero witnesses is what you would get. And that's the argument that you make. And you win that argument. You defeat the Democrats.
You don't
even
have to bring up the names. Bolton, Biden's, no. Because what they want is they want a witness. They don't want the Republicans to have witnesses.
Right. President Trump doesn't get one single witness called by his own defense.
And the only way to do that, honestly, this is not a political play. The only way to do that is on one vote. Okay, we're going to call, basically, we're going to call witnesses. And that's what you do. It's yay or nay, up or down.
866-90-RED-EYE.
There's a new Shell Rotella engine oil for gas engines. Shell Rotella Gas Truck is available now. Megan Pino, Shell Rotella Global Brand Manager, tells us what was behind the development and more about the product.
Obviously, Shell Rotella's heritage is heavy-duty engine oil, and that will remain our heritage. And we know that our customers work hard, but they also love to play hard. And many of our customers also own a gasoline-powered pickup truck, SUV, and perhaps as a personal vehicle or as part of the business. We also know that truck owners use their trucks for different purposes than a car, to be able to tow something, whether that's an RV or a boat for fun on the weekend, for, you know, your business, for hauling equipment. So you're doing something different with your truck than you are with a car. And so why use the same motor oil that you would in your car as your truck? There are three viscosity grades, 0W20, 5W20, and 5W30, which covers any gasoline-powered pickup truck or SUV in terms of the manufacturer recommendations.
For more, go to Rotella.com. This engine report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. Questions start today.
That's right. At 1 p.m. today, we'll see where those questions go. What will the answers be?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.